All right, well, I'm going to pray, and we're going to get started this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the reality, the joy, the delight of being able to call you our Father. Thankful for the meeting of the church together. Lord, thankful for your provisions this morning. Safety in coming here. Thankful this morning for the Bible. Thank you for your word. Yes. Thankful this morning for your son, Jesus Christ. His, so many times he would give us clear reasons for why he came to the world. To seek and to save sinners. Not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Lord, we want to encourage one another in our time together this morning. We want to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We want to pray together. Lord, we want to bear burdens together this morning. We want to rejoice with others this morning. Help us in all these ways, please. And Father, I ask for your help this morning as we look into the book of Matthew together. I'm thankful for the encouragement of the passage personally, and ask that you would use it in the life of your people, and particularly those this morning that are weary and heavy laden, Lord. Help us, we ask. Guide us into truth, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a joy to be back. I wish my wife and family could be here with me, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here, and thankful for the opportunity to share. Thank you for praying for us in Ecuador, for our family in particular, praying for the church, for brothers and sisters in Venezuela, and we're just very thankful. We're very thankful for you all here, and we really feel like you're our family. So I just want to just keep saying we're very thankful, and we're very thankful. So if you have a Bible this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to be together in our time this morning. I'm going to read more than the verses we're going to look at specifically to give a little bit of the context. But in our time this morning, I want us to consider specifically Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Very familiar verses to many of us. If you'd follow along with me, though, I'm going to begin reading Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At this time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In our time this morning, and even my own desires, my focus really is very narrow this morning. The audience that I hope to speak to is very focused, because Jesus' words are very focused. They're oriented to a specific people. People characterized by specific things. And so my desire this morning is to talk specifically to weary and heavy laden Christians, and also to speak to those of you that are not Christians and are feeling weary and heavy laden in your souls. Jesus specifically addresses those. Jesus specifically issues an invitation, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." He doesn't say all who were weary and heavy laden. He doesn't say all who will be weary and heavy laden. He uses a present tense verb. He says all who are weary and heavy laden. And so that's my desire this morning. As I've prayed, as I've prepared, as I've studied and pored over these words, the focus is very specific this morning. Those characterized by weariness, those characterized by a heavy ladenness this morning. Brothers and sisters, for many of you, it's just going to be a reminder of so many things that you know already. Sometimes, though, it feels like the clouds move in, things get a little foggy, and I hope maybe God willing to be used as a compass just to help redirect and reorient your attention, your focus. And so take all of the tears maybe that you cry at night when no one's around. For some of you, turning to food as a source of comfort, you feel the weariness, you feel the heavy ladenness, and you seek to remove it by going to food. Take all of that, wrap them in your arms, and come with me this morning to Matthew chapter 11, to Jesus' invitation to you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And for those of you that are not Christians this morning, but you're feeling a weariness in your soul, you're feeling a heavy ladenness in your soul, come to the living Christ and listen this morning. Listen to his invitation. Listen to his words and believe his words. I hope to argue with you and reason with you to show that he is able to make good on his promise, and also to show you that he's willing to make good on his promise to give rest for your soul. We're going to look at some of that together. And so let's come to our passage this morning, specifically addressing those who are weary and heavy laden. And many of you know, I mean, the Gospel of Matthew, these words right here in verse 28 are some words that have probably brought thousands, maybe millions of Christians comfort in their lives. We prayed this morning. The Gospel of Matthew is full of precious truths. And for many of us, truths that have really comforted us. And so in Matthew 18, Jesus promised, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in your midst. That goes with people. That's helped people. Or at the end of Matthew 28, verse 20, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when the church is gathered together in the context of discipline, Jesus says, I'm there with you. And when the church is going out and making disciples and baptizing and teaching, Jesus says, I'm there with you. And those have been helps. You read biographies, talk to Christians here in this room. They've been helpful truths and helpful words and precious truths. And so have these words right here in chapter 11. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I've got 3 points for our time together this morning. They're very simple. I hope they're memorable so that you can remember what I sought to share, and share it with your family, share it with your kids. But verses 28 through 30, we're going to look at the invitation. Secondly, we're going to see the inviter, the one who issued the invitation, and then we're going to see the promised rest. Okay, so very simple, the invitation, the inviter, and the promised rest. So we immediately begin verse 28, and we're struck and met with the word come. Come to me. That's the invitation this morning. Come to me. There's 3 commands in these 3 verses. You see the word come, you see the word take in verse 29, and then you see the word learn in verse 29 as well. But we transition right after Jesus' prayer, and there's a command, come, come to me. It's a word that's not a casual suggestion to those who are hearing Jesus, to those who are weary and heavy laden. It's a word that has a bit of force behind it. And so he's saying, come, come on, come to me this morning. It's the same word used in chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, when Jesus begins to call his first disciples. At verse 19, Matthew records, I'll read verses 18 and 19. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, or come, follow me. Leave where you are, where you're sitting in your boat, what you're doing, leave this position and come to me. You need to make a move geographically from where you are. It's an urgent word. It's a serious word. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And when you begin to unfold the context, what a gracious command. What an amazing command. It's like if we take our kids to the park and they're eager to play on the monkey bars, right? Son, okay, I'm going to put you on this side. I'm going to go to the other side and I'm going to wait for you. We're saying, son, come to the other side. That's what Jesus is calling for right here. Maybe he just opens his eyes after praying. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent. And he looks around and then he says, come to me. That's the command this morning. That's the invitation this morning. Come to me. Take, learn. And it's really surprising where these words fit, where this invitation is found as we consider the context of chapter 11. If we were to start in chapter 1 and work all of our way to chapter 11, I mean, we're introduced by Matthew to Jesus by way of genealogies in the opening of Matthew's gospel, the birth of Christ, his early years, the ministry of John the Baptist, the baptism of Jesus. We're met with the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5 through 7. And then right on the heels of chapter 7, Jesus really begins aggressively and intentionally ministering and demonstrating his authority over sicknesses, his authority over demons, his authority to forgive sins. But what we begin to see in chapter 9 is he's beginning to face resistance. There's opposition. He casts out demons by the prince of demons. Why does your teacher eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? So we're beginning to see opposition unfold. In chapter 10, Jesus is preparing his disciples. He prepares the 12 to send them out. And they're such sobering words when you begin to really slow down and listen how Jesus is preparing his disciples to go into the world, sheep among wolves. You're going to be hated by all because of me. Don't expect anything different. This is how they've treated me. This is how they're going to treat you. In chapter 11, it's more opposition. And beginning in verse 20, Jesus begins to denounce cities. That's what Matthew records here. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, express severe disapproval. It's a strong word. And the reason he denounces these three cities up in the region of Galilee, just on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, is because they didn't repent at his works. And so he denounces these three cities. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Capernaum. And he says it would have been better for Sodom. It's going to be better for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. You had so much light. You saw so many works and you didn't repent. And only like Christ could do, the God-man, he goes from denouncing. I mean, many men would just be carried away by their emotions at this point. But Jesus, after denouncing cities, begins to pray. He begins to pray and praise God. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And so he's praying. He's praying to his Father. And then he starts talking about the authority that he's received himself and his authority to reveal the Father to those whom he wishes. And then after he's done praying, he issues an invitation. It's an invitation to those that are gathered around him. It's on the heels of his prayer. It's on the heels of his pronouncing woes. And here he is, perhaps looking in the eyeballs of those that are around him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Christ, the perfectly balanced man, could go from denouncing cities to praying to issuing invitations like this. Who's he inviting? Who's he inviting this morning? I mean, I've said it about six times already, just referencing the passage. The invitation is come to me, and who are the invited ones? We're met by that word all, aren't we? And it's all of a specific group of people, all who are characterized by specific things, all who are weary and heavy laden. Those are the invited this morning. Come to me, all who are this way, all who are characterized by these two things, a weariness, those who have become weary through heavy struggle and toil, That's the idea of the word right here. Matthew uses it in chapter 6 as he records Jesus' words, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin." That's the word right there, toil. All who are weary, all who are spent with labor, all who are faint. It's the same word used of Jesus in John chapter 4 when he's traveling from Judea to Galilee. You remember he passed through Samaria. And verse 6, "So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, sat down at the well." That's our word right here. All who are weary and heavy laden. Heavy laden is the passive side of weary. So those who are burdened down, kind of like a beast of burden. I was thinking of Pilgrim in the Pilgrim's Progress. You know, he had this burden on his back. This is the idea. Weariness, heavy ladenness. Metaphorically, it's to load one with a burden. It's the same word used in Luke chapter 11, verse 46. Jesus is speaking to the lawyers, but he said, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." You weigh men down. That's who Jesus is calling this morning. Those who are weary, those who are heavy laden this morning. The invitation is all who meet these characteristics. Contextually, the weariness that he's talking about, the heavy ladenness, seems to be a weariness and a heavy ladenness of the soul. That's the promised rest that he gives in verse 29, or the promise in verse 29, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Those weary of soul, those heavy laden of soul. It's the same thing. I think somebody referenced it either here or as we were praying back there. But Jesus, it's the same thing he's saying back in chapter 5. "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That's the invitation this morning. The question this morning is, have you ever felt that way and do you feel that way? Have you felt a weariness of your soul? Have you felt a heavy ladenness of your soul? Maybe you feel that way right now. You know, it's one thing to come to the building this morning with a smile, but you could easily go out of the building and sit in your car and cry, right? It's one thing to come in jovial and lighthearted, but inwardly you're burdened, you're weighed down, you're weary. Proverbs 14:13, "Even in laughter the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief." Do you feel that way this morning? Do you feel weary this morning? Do you feel heavy laden this morning? Unbeliever, are you currently weary and heavy laden? Come to him. I mean, it's so simple. I'm just praying, Lord, use your word. Use your word this morning. Encourage your people. Help those who are weary and heavy laden. Come to him this morning. Brother and sister, I mean, there are times in our Christian lives where we settle for cheap imitations to gain relief in our weariness, to try to attain just a little bit of a lighter load. We settle for cheap imitations. In our lost days, we sought relief in all sorts of things, didn't we? We sought relief, whether it's in women, whether it's in men, whether it's in work, whether it's in fill in the blank. Almost everything apart from our Creator. Everything apart from the God who created us and sustains us. And as Christians, we have at times, with grief and not with happiness, we have sought out other things, and they've been cheap substitutions. What are some of the other things? I mean, the weariness sets in, the heavy ladenness sets in, and so you stand up from your chair in the living room and you walk into the kitchen and you open the freezer and you get out the pint of ice cream. Now, it's funny a little bit, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you think, I'm just going to have a few bites. It's going to relieve something here in my weariness and in my heavy ladenness. And the next thing you know, you've eaten the entire pint of ice cream. And you're sitting there and you feel worse than before the first bite. It's a cheap substitution, and it didn't provide you any sort of relief. For some of you, it's not food so much. It's not chocolate so much. It's not whatever. You know what? I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy 5 new shirts. And so you've sought out some relief by buying things, by buying clothing. Some of you have sought relief by going to the gym for 3 hours. You know what? This is going to be where I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to deal with the weariness. This is how I'm going to deal with the heavy ladenness. Some of you, and I've been so encouraged reading the testimonies that have been sent out recently, some of you have just check your mind out and you just surf YouTube and Facebook for hours and you just check out. You know, I just want to numb it. I want to be done with it. And you think this is where I can go, and it's nothing but a cheap imitation. It might hold out a promise of some sort of relief, but it's a cheap imitation. And it doesn't provide any relief at all. It doesn't provide any rest for the soul. Some of you think, well, if I just do something where I can exert adrenaline, then that's going to lift the weariness. That's going to lift the heavy ladenness. If I could just travel here, if I could just do that, if I could just drive this fast, if I could just get this thing, it's going to relieve and ease some of the weariness that I'm feeling in my soul right now. And it doesn't. They might be temporary, but the weariness returns. Or for some of us, this is not really something I have struggles with. You just surround yourself with more people. You know what? You don't go to the secret place. You don't go to your closet. You don't cast your anxieties on the Lord because you know He cares for you. You don't let that truth bear in on your weariness, bear in on your heavy ladenness, but you just surround yourself with more people. You just busy yourself more and more. And what happens? You go home and then the weariness returns. It's right there because it's never left, because you've not dealt with it as the Lord would have you deal with it. You found the Lord to be a help in ages past. He still is willing and wanting to help you this morning. You could think about the multiple times that He's been a help to you. Yes. You've gone to Him in your weariness. You've gone to Him in your heavy ladenness, and you've found rest for your souls. But I wonder about you, neighbor. You're not in Christ this morning. And you're feeling a weariness of your soul. You're feeling a heavy ladenness. Let me ask you, where have all of your pursuits led you in your life? All of your desires to relieve the weariness that you felt, where have they led you this morning? Have they helped you? Maybe temporarily. Have you found relief? Maybe it's been multiple men, I was going to say just for you women, but maybe women with women, multiple partners. Maybe it's been multiple substances. I've just got to numb this thing, just kill this thing. I'm not going to think about it. How is it working for you this morning? We know a lady in Ecuador. She's Canadian, and she's lived in Ecuador maybe for about 15 years, and she's a sorry situation. She met an Ecuadorian man. I'm not sure if they got married. They've had 2 children. She's had 1 child die. She has a daughter right now. She spends all of her time. She opened her own like natural food store, and she's just hostile to Christianity. She's hostile to the Bible, but she's engaged in yoga. She's engaged in Reiki. She talks about energies and things like that, and her life is miserable. I mean, she's weary, she's grouchy, and she sought these other things, and they've not brought relief to the weariness of her soul. And she still doesn't want to submit herself to Jesus Christ. She's weary, she's heavy laden. How have your pursuits served you this morning? Those of you that have not come to Christ, but those of you who feel weary, and those of you who feel heavy laden, you feel the weight of your sin. Maybe some of you were raised in very legalistic churches. And so the weariness that you're feeling right now is the crushing of legalism. You've been in churches, and what has been preached, what is the unvoiced expectations, both in the church and in your family, are just crushing you because it's something that you can't live up to. And you're wearied this morning. You're heavy laden this morning. Brother and sister, neighbor, this morning, this is the invitation. It's a very simple invitation. Jesus doesn't say, come with me to the temple. He doesn't say, come with me to the synagogue. Come with me to the Sea of Galilee. Come with me anywhere. But he says, come to me. Yes. And it's not vanity, because the Christ who has said these words is alive. I mean, you can't buy a one-way ticket to Jerusalem today, go visit all the archaeological sites, and see his body in a museum. He's been raised from the dead. This is the invitation this morning, and the invited are those who are weary and heavy laden. So how should you come to him this morning? With what attitude? With what demeanor? Well, come to him quickly this morning. Don't wait this morning. For some of you, close your eyes right now. Get on your knees and pray, and just confess to him in your mind, Lord, I'm weary this morning. Lord, I've sought this out. I've sought to ease the weariness in people. I've sought to ease the weariness, and I've just numbed my mind surfing the web. Lord, I'm weary this morning. I'm faint-hearted. You said this morning in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You come to me. I'm coming to you this morning, and you said you'll give me rest. Come to him quickly. Don't put it off, in other words. But come to him humbly. That's what we see in the verses as well. Come to him humbly. Come to him as you are this morning. Come to him in all of your weariness. Come to him in all of your heavy ladenness. Don't try to hide anything from him. Come to him as you are. Come to him openly. Come to him transparently. He knows your life anyways. He knows you're sitting down. He knows you're standing up. He knows your thoughts from afar. You can't hide from him anyways. But come to him knowingly. Come to him in light of who he is, knowing his character. Lord, you're gentle and lowly of heart. Wow, I want to come to you. Come to him knowingly. And come to him expectantly as well. You will give me rest. You will give rest to my soul. Come to him quickly this morning, right now. Come to him humbly, as you are. You feel messy, come to him in your messiness. Weariness, come to him in your weariness. Come to him knowingly, in light of who he is, his character, his revelation. And come to him expectantly. He's not dead. He is not dead, and his word is true. And I'm going to reason and argue with you more about that. So come to him that way, but the question also arises is, how do I come to somebody that I can't see? I mean, if we stop and think about it, okay, when he said these words here in Matthew 11, well, somebody could come to him and they could put their head on his shoulder and cry, couldn't they? They could touch his arm. Thank you, Lord, for those words. How do we come to somebody that we can't see this morning? That's the command this morning, come to me. Peter says, and we read this earlier, the nature of Christianity, Peter gives a little description. In 1 Peter 1:8, he says, and though, this is part of what it means to be a Christian, and though you have not seen him, you love him. That's Christianity right there. It's somebody that we haven't seen, and it's somebody that we love. Though you haven't seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him. It's a life of faith as well. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the writer of Hebrews says, the conviction of things unseen. It's that faith of Abraham, though he was as good as dead, the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, the word of God, the revelation of God, he didn't grow weary in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And so you come to him in faith. You come to him because he has made himself known. He has revealed himself this morning, not only in creation, not only in your conscience, but through written word, his revelation to you this morning. You come to him in light of who he is and what he said, how he's revealed himself in the pages of this book and what he has said to you in the pages of this book. You can't see him, you can't touch his hand, but you come to him in light of what he has said. You come to him in faith. You come to him in dependence, in trust in what he has said. Come to him who is unseen by his word. Come to him who is unseen prayerfully. In light of what he has said, take those words, say them back to him, and pour out your heart to him. Pour out your weariness to him this morning. It's really interesting as you read through the rest of the New Testament that the authors of the New Testament don't necessarily talk like this. They don't say, come to him, all who are weary and heavy laden. We see different language, though. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. That's how the writers talk. The same book, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, therefore, he just said God is opposed to the proud, but what does God do to the humble? Yeah, does he reject the humble? No, he doesn't. He says he gives grace to the humble. Well, therefore, in light of that reality of who God is, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There it is again, in light of who he is. God, you care for me. Wow. I mean, like half a dozen people prayed it earlier. You loved me when I didn't love you. You've not only loved me when I was your enemy, how much more will you not freely give us all things now that I'm your child, now that I've been brought to you, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God? How much more now that we've been brought to him? Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. The contrast, the being anxious for nothing, but in everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's the invitation this morning. The invitation is, come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. The invited are those who are weary and those who are heavy laden. Is this a practice in your life, brother or sister? As I thought through this, how do you encourage, you know, how do we come? What demeanor? Well, let's go quickly, knowingly, humbly, expectantly. In all of who he is, how he's made himself known. Don't put it off. Go to him now. How do we come to him? You know, we can't see him, so how do you come to somebody that you can't see? You come to him in light of who he is, in light of how he's made himself known, in his word, in prayer. But a question, questions that should arise, could arise, are, is he able to make good on his promise? He's promised to give my soul rest. I've heard a lot of charlatans make promises. They've made promises about the return of Christ, and yet the day has come and the day is gone, and they've just been found to be liars. Is he good? Is he able to make good on his promise this morning? I'll give you rest. Your soul, I will give your soul rest. Is he able this morning? Let's consider it this morning. Who is the one who issues this invitation? Who's the one that promises to give rest to the wearied soul, to the heavy laden soul? In our context, we learn some things about Jesus. It's Jesus. He says of himself here, he describes himself in verse 29, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I'm not rough. I'm not gruff. I'm gentle. I'm patient. I'm compassionate. I'm humble in heart. I think it's the only time that Jesus gives a description of his heart. And the way that he described, I'm humble in heart, lowly in heart. The word gentle is the same word we find in chapter 5 for meek. It's the same word used. Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. And so what he's doing with us in this context to the wearied, to the heavy laden, is he's reasoning with us in light of who he is. He issues the invitation. He says, I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? For, because, that's the word. He wants to reason with us at this point in time. Know who I am, know my character, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He reasons with us in light of who he is. He wants us to know something of his character so that we will come to him. If there's a reservation there, we know we go to his character. If we feel some hesitation, we go to his character. The inviter, Christ is the inviter here. We learn of him, he's gentle and humble in heart, but is he able to deliver what he promises? I mean, it's one thing if I walked up to Diego this morning and I pull out a check for $1 million. It's signed, it's dated, $1 million. It's a lot of zeros behind the one. And I hand it to him. He might be excited, but probably he's thinking, is he able to make good on the amount that he's just given to me on this piece of paper? It's $1 million. Does he have it in the account? Is he able to make good on the $1 million? Well, our souls are so much more valuable than $1 million. And the question is he able to make good on the promise to give rest to your soul this morning? He is able. And I'm going to, let's reason with this. Let's look at him this morning. The one who utters these words is no mere man. And so my argument is, yes, he is able to make good on his promise because of who he is, because of his identity this morning. And who is he this morning? Well, Matthew's introduced us to him in chapter 1. He is Emmanuel, which translated means what? God with us. He's not merely a man. He's not less than a man, but he's not merely a man. The one who issues the invitation to the invited is none other than God with us. And when you expand and start reading the rest of the New Testament, you begin to see, okay, well, this is the one through whom all things and for whom all things were created. He's my creator. Absolutely, he's able to make good on his word because he's made me. He's the one through whom all things were created. Is he able? He is able. He's able in light of his identity. You might be convinced of that. Well, I believe Jesus created all things. I believe in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe that, but I'm struggling to know if he's willing to give rest to my soul this morning. Maybe that's described some of us before we came to Christ truly. I believe this about him, but I don't know if he's willing to give me this rest this morning. I don't know if I can come to him this morning. Is he willing this morning to give me rest? Well, let me just give you a whole bunch of reasons why he's willing to give you rest this morning if you come to him. And we just want to scan through the Gospel of Matthew together. And I want to point out some specific things about the Lord Jesus Christ to show you he is more than willing when you come to him on his terms. It's not presumption, it's not pride to come to him in light of his invitation to you this morning. And so if you're tempted to think it, don't think that way. Is he willing? Consider Christ. Consider Christ is a man who doesn't overlook others. He doesn't overlook men. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is sometimes we get off the highway, the exit ramp, and we know there's a stoplight ahead of us. And there's a few cars ahead of you, there's a few cars ahead of us, but oh no, there's a man holding a cardboard sign asking for money. Oh, I hope the light stays green. And you're just, okay, you're timing it, you know, you're looking at, okay, your speedometer, you're looking at the light, and you're like, okay, I'm not sure how this is going to get timed, but I already feel uncomfortable. What am I going to do if I get stuck next to him at the light? You've got two cars in front of you, and the light begins to change, and it's like, oh no, it's happening. It's a fast yellow, and you're stopped at the red. You're the one at the stoplight. Well, I think I need to check my phone. You know, I forgot to check my email this morning, and so you look this way, and he's on your left. You look, you act busy. Oh, it's green. Boom. You overlook men, but Christ didn't do that with men. Amen. Listen to Christ this morning in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. They were doing their thing. Jesus was walking by. He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. What about chapter 9, verse 36? Seeing the people. Christ didn't just overlook men. That's the nature of who he is. These are attributes and characteristics of this Christ who is promising to give rest to your wearied soul this morning. Seeing the people, he shooed them away because he needed more alone time. No, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Christ doesn't overlook men. You might believe he's able because of his identity, who he is, Emmanuel, God with us. But is he willing? Well, okay, pay attention to this right now. He doesn't just overlook men. He sees men. He saw men. He's seeing the people, and he has compassion for the people. But what else does Christ do? Christ gets in and gets close to men. Listen to some of these descriptions of how Christ interacted in his earthly ministry. Chapter 8, when Jesus came down from the mountain, this is right after the Sermon on the Mount, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing," I don't know why there's a leper here anyways. If you know your Old Testament, this shouldn't happen. He needs to be outside the camp. He needs to be covering his mustache, crying out, "Unclean, unclean." And yet, what does he do? He comes to Jesus. He comes humbly, and he says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Jesus Christ didn't need to touch a leprous man. I mean, there are accounts. Somebody heard Jairus' daughter. He just spoke and she was brought to life. There are times where Jesus just speaks and people are healed. And yet, what does he do right here? Well, his character is such that he gets close to men. He gets close to nasty, leprous people, physically and spiritually. He touched him. Listen to chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. I mean, I just imagine it's affectionate. He just placed his hand on her hand, and she was healed, and she got up and served him. Christ gets close to people. He doesn't overlook men. He gets close to people. He moves in to where people are. But know this, Christ has a track record of bringing rest to the souls of men as well. And so if you're still wondering if he's willing, well, he doesn't overlook men. He gets close. He gets right in there and meets people where they're at. He does things like touch lepers. He does things like touch the hands of sick women. But he's got a track record of bringing rest and giving rest to wearied souls. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, "It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." He has a track record of doing it. And so if you're wondering this morning, if you're doubting this morning, pull a Christian aside and just start talking to them about how Christ has given rest to them. He has a track record in it. He's willing to do it. He gets in close to men. He touches people. He doesn't overlook people. His stated purpose is for coming into the world, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's willing this morning, if you'll come to him at his invitation. Come to him quickly. Come to him humbly. Come to him in light of who he is. In our text this morning, I mean, as if we needed to say anything more than verse 28 this morning, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The command is to come. To not come is not humility this morning. To not take him at his word is not humility this morning. His command is to come. Come to him. Come to him in your weariness. Come to him who is unseen in light of who he is. You've seen his ability. We've seen his willingness. And so, brothers, is this not the way that you and I need to encourage our wives at home? When they're feeling weary, when they're feeling heavy laden, simple reminders, honey, go to the Lord. You know what he said. We could pray together right now. Come to him. He's willing. His invitation stands because he is alive. This is his idea. That's the thing. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It's not presumption. When you come to him in light of what he said, honey, let's go. Let's pray. Honey, go to the Lord. Sisters, the way to encourage your husband when he's feeling dejected or feeling wearied, this is the way for us in the life of the church. I mean, basic truths to encourage one another in the life of this church, to one another, speaking to one another in these ways. It's the very truth that some single brothers and sisters, you're anxious a bit, you're not married, you want to be married, you feel a weariness, maybe a heavy ladenness, and you think just perhaps that a spouse might be the one to give rest to your soul. Well, newsflash, you're not going to find rest for your soul in a spouse. This is the truth that you need to hear this morning. Come to him this morning. His word stands. His invitation is open. These are the words that we proclaim to men in the street, isn't it? You come to him this morning if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, you come to him and he will give you rest. I didn't say come to my church building. I said come to him. Now, if you come to our church building, you're going to meet other Christians, and you're going to see that he has a track record. He's good on his word, and he's mighty to save. But it's the truth that we proclaim in the streets. It's the truth that we proclaim in the prisons to those that are in the nursing home that can't get out. Saint, you feel weary and heavy laden. His invitation still stands. Yeah, you're in a wheelchair and you can't get out. It doesn't matter. He's not restricted by it. He's not restricted by COVID. Right? He's not quarantining. He's willing and able to give rest to your wearied and heavy laden soul. It's the truth we proclaim in the workplace and in the car wash. Just fill in the blank, right? So we've seen the invitation, we've seen the inviter, and let's finish by looking at the promised rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so after he extends the invitation, verse 28, after he reasons with us in light of who he is, in light of his character, the promise he offers is rest for our souls. Rest for your soul this morning. It's a word that just means to soothe or to refresh. That's the rest that he's offering. That's the rest that he promises, and you will find rest for your soul. To cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. That's the rest that he offers, soul rest. The promise is rest, but we see that it's a rest that's not inactive. It's very interesting here. So he says, I will provide rest for you. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. This seems strange. Wearied, and you're talking about a yoke. What we see is that it's a rest that is not an inactive rest, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. J.C. Ryles, I really like this quote. He says this, no doubt there is a cross to be carried, right? So we don't negate that. He said, I'll give you rest for your soul. Well, we don't forget chapter 10, where he's talked about the cost of discipleship. No doubt there is a cross to be carried if we follow Christ. No doubt there are trials to be endured and battles to be fought. But the comforts of the gospel far outweigh the cross. Compared to the service of the world and sin, look at that. Compared to the service of the world and sin, compared to the yoke of Jewish ceremonies, we saw that, the lawyers weighing men down, in the bondage of human superstition, Christ's service is in the highest sense easy and light. Listen to this. His yoke is no more a burden than the feathers are to a bird. wow. I mean, that helped me. I said, wow, okay. His commandments are not grievous. His ways are ways of pleasantness, and all his paths are peace. And so it's a rest, it's a refreshment for your soul. In service to him, it's the yoke of discipleship, learning from him. Learning from him because he is the one who uniquely has the authority to reveal the Father to men. That's what he said in verse 27, I'm sorry. Learning from him, his character, his ways, the yoke of discipleship, this, yes, cross-bearing, but supernaturally and spiritually what happens, I mean, in regeneration, so we're expanding out here, but God changes the heart of a man. And so then these commandments, that this drudgery, this antiquated book, this Bible, is, it's sweeter than honey. Honey from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and by keeping them there's great reward. That's what the psalmist says. Learning from Christ, rest ultimately through his death and resurrection. The rest for our souls has come at a great cost to him. The rest he offers came at great discomfort to him. And in so doing, coming to him on his terms, we'll find rest for our souls. And so this is the Christ of Christianity right here. The living Christ this morning, who is speaking to all who are hearing this morning, and specifically to those who are weary and heavy laden. To the Christian, to you who are weary and heavy laden, you've seen his track record, you've tasted of his kindnesses, you've tasted of his goodnesses, you've seen his help in ages past. Come to him again this morning. Reorient yourself this morning. Remember his word this morning. Don't be settled. Don't be satisfied. Be intentional not to go to these other things that are cheap imitations this morning. And come to him in light of who he is, in light of what he said. And for you who are not a Christian this morning, this is the Christ who can provide rest to your soul. This Christ alone who says, you come to me. You come to me this morning. And I will give rest to your soul. Quickly, humbly, knowingly, expectantly. And I want to finish with another quote from J.C. Ryles. May we never be satisfied until we know and feel that we have come to Christ by faith for rest. And do still come to him for fresh supplies of grace every day. If we've come to him already, let us learn to cleave to him more closely. If we've never come to him, yes, let us begin to come today. His word shall never be broken. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those are his words this morning in John 6, verse 37. So I hope it's been an encouragement. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing new, really, for most of us. But it's just reorienting ourselves back. This is the Christ. This is our Lord this morning. And he bids you come. Come in your weariness to him. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you this morning and are thankful. Lord, your compassions. I mean, the fact that you take note of men. You don't overlook men, Lord. You don't act like men don't exist. You didn't pass by the Sea of Galilee and see the gruff fishermen with their gruff work and look the other direction. Lord, you saw them and you called them to yourself. Lord, disheveled crowds, you saw the people. And not only did you see them, but you had compassion on them, Lord. Your perception of men is like they're sheep without a shepherd. Lord, you're moving in close to men. You're moving in and touching lepers, Lord. Lepers of skin and lepers of souls. Lord, you're moving in and demonstrating your willingness and compassion to touch Peter's mother-in-law, Lord. You didn't have to do these things, Lord. You're revealing your character to us, your willingness to us, your compassion to us this morning. Lord, your track record, I mean, how many volumes of books could be filled up in the history of the world this morning? Lord, as we think about how reliable your word is, how reliable this invitation is, your people have found you to be a help in ages past, Lord, and we know, based upon what you've said, you'll continue to help. You'll continue to provide rest. Lord, I ask this morning that you would, that my brothers and sisters would be helped this morning. Lord, they would humble themselves this morning under your mighty hand, is what Peter says, casting all of their anxiety on you because you care for them, Lord. You've issued the command this morning for them to come to you. Might they find you to be their help this morning. And Father, for those who are not disciples of Jesus Christ and they're wearied in soul, whatever the weariness is, Lord, whether it's just crushed from legalism and legalistic rules in their families, churches they've been a part of in the past, never measuring up to whatever the voice standard was, crushed that way, Lord, weighed down that way, Lord, or it's been pursuits of other things weighed down from the sin of their lives. Lord, maybe some thinking they're too bad and they can't come to you. Lord, you've clearly demonstrated your willingness. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, for the reputation of your great name, Lord, to demonstrate and manifest your power today. Lord, we're not settled. We see, I mean, thousands were added in one day in the book of Acts. Lord, is it only for the book of Acts? Christ, you're still alive today. You're still alive today, and you said you will build your church, and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it, Lord. We see this contrast. I mean, people are dying. Roman rulers are dying. They're being killed for their arrogance in the book of Acts, and what does the word of God do? It just keeps spreading. Men perish. Men fall, men die, and the word of God is spreading. Jesus, you're continuing to build your church. I ask that you would be a help to my brothers and sisters this morning. Give ears to hear, Lord, this morning. Lord, we pray through our Lord, through our Savior, through this compassionate Christ that we've seen a little bit in Matthew 11. Help us in the rest of our meeting together, we ask. Amen.